Okay, so imagine this scenario. You've got a really powerful leader, maybe a king, tossing and turning all night, can't sleep.
Happens to the best of us,
Totally.
right?
And then he makes this, like, seemingly small decision. He asks someone to read the royal archives to him. Bit boring, maybe.
You'd think so, just reading old records.
But that one little thing, it kicks off this incredible chain reaction, huge consequences. That's kind of where our deep dive starts today.
Into this amazing story, yeah, from an ancient text.
Exactly. It reminds you how even tiny details can fit into a much, much bigger picture, maybe one we don't always see.
A plan unfolding.
Right. So today, we're zooming in on one specific chapter. We'll follow the king, this really faithful servant, and also a super prideful official through one night that changes absolutely everything.
It's a real turning point.
And the goal here is not just to get the facts, you know, that what happened, but to pull out insights that actually mean something for us, for you today.
Especially about trust, maybe, and our connection to something bigger.
Yeah, exactly that. How this old story can actually strengthen that trust. Okay, let's unpack it.
Let's do it.
So we start in this Persian palace, King Ahasuerus. Late night. Sleep is just not happening for him.
We've all been there, staring at the ceiling.
Right. So what does he do? He calls for the royal chronicles, you know, the official kingdom records. Read them to me.
Which is kind of an unusual request, maybe, instead of music or something.
Maybe. But this is the pivot point. This night, it's in Esther chapter 6, for those who know the text, it's often seen as the moment everything shifts, danger to deliverance. And this is where it gets good.
Okay.
So his servants are reading, probably droning on a bit. And then this happened, and then that happened. But suddenly, one entry grabs the king's attention.
Ah, here we go.
It's about a guy named Mordecai. Turns out Mordecai had uncovered a plot way back. Two of the king's own guys, Bigthana and Teresh, were planning to assassinate him. Mordecai reported it. Saved the king's life.
Wow. Okay, pretty major.
Huge. But then the king realizes something. He asks, so what honor, what recognition did Mordecai get for this?
And the answer?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Kind of embarrassing, right, for the king.
Definitely awkward. You saved my life, and oops, we forgot.
Exactly. And the
Yeah.
timing here is just unbelievable.
This is the crucial part.
Yeah. Because just as the king is processing this, we did nothing for Mordecai. Guess who shows up in the outer court?
Let me guess. Haman.
Haman, the king's top official.
Yeah.
And Haman hates Mordecai, like
Yeah.
viscerally hates him.
Right. There's this whole backstory there, and he's not just dropping by.
No way. He's come with a specific, really dark request. He wants the king's permission to hang Mordecai. He's even built the gallows already.
Chillin', he's that prepared.
So Haman's standing there, probably rehearsing his pitch, ready to ask for Mordecai's execution.
But the king speaks
The
first.
king speaks first. Before Haman can say a word, the king, still thinking about Mordecai, turns to Haman and asks, "What should be done for the man the king delights to honor?"
Oh, wow, the irony.
It's incredible, isn't it? And Haman, well, his ego is
No,
massive.
he immediately thinks.
He's talking about me. Who else could the king possibly delight to honor but me?
Of course. Classic Haman.
So, blinded by pride, he lays out this incredibly lavish, over-the-top public honor. Put the guy in the king's own royal robes, on the king's own horse, royal crown on his head,
To work.
and have one of the highest princes lead him through the city street shouting, "This is what happens to the man the king delights to honor." He's basically designing his own fantasy parade.
Painting a picture of ultimate glory for himself.
And then the king just drops the hammer. He says, completely straight face, "Great idea. Make haste. Take the robes, take the horse, just like you said, and do all that for Mordecai the Jew, the one who sits at the king's gate. Don't let anything fail of all that you've said."
Oof, imagine Haman's face, the utter shock, the humiliation.
Must have been unbelievable. He has to personally give this massive public honor to the very man he came to destroy minutes earlier.
There's a complete stunning reversal. So Mordecai gets this unexpected parade.
And then apparently just calmly goes back to his post at the gate afterwards. It's like, okay, that happened.
Well, Haman.
Haman scrambles home, head covered in shame, totally crushed.
And tells his wife and advisors what happened.
Yeah, and their reaction is chilling. They tell him basically, look, if Mordecai is Jewish and you've started to fall before him, you're not going to win. You're going down.
They see the writing on the wall. This isn't just bad luck. It's something bigger shifting against him, like his destiny is sealed.
Exactly. And right then, the king's guys show up to rush Haman off to Queen Esther's second banquet, where, spoiler alert, things are about to get even worse for him. but he has no idea yet.
Wow. What a night. Okay, so that's the story, the play-by-play. But what's the takeaway for us? What's underneath all that palace drama?
Great question. Because it's way more than just an old story, right?
Absolutely. When you connect it to the bigger picture, you really see, well, maybe how God works in the details. That sleepless night, the forgotten good deed, suddenly remembered, Haman showing up at exactly the wrong moment for him.
Right. It doesn't feel like coincidence in the story.
Not at all. It points to a hidden hand guiding things, arranging justice, flipping the script behind the scenes when no one expects it.
It makes you think about times in our own lives when things just seem to line up, you know? Maybe we miss it sometimes.
We probably do. And there's also this theme of honor coming in God's time. Mordecai didn't scheme or demand anything, did he?
Nope. He saved the king's life years before, apparently, and just kept doing his job.
Exactly. He waited. Maybe not even consciously waiting for a reward, just being faithful. And then, boom, the honor comes right when it's needed most. Not just for his ego, but it positions him for what happens next.
That's powerful. Patience and faithfulness paying off at the perfect, unexpected moment.
And then you have Haman. It's such a clear warning, isn't it? Pride goes before a fall.
Textbook case.
His arrogance, his assumption that everything revolved around him, literally made him write the script for his own public shaming.
He suggested the parade. It was his idea.
It raises that question for us, doesn't it? How often do our own assumptions, maybe driven by ego, set us up for a fall or just lead us down the wrong path?
That's a searching question. We assume we know how things should go or that we deserve certain things.
And we miss what's really happening. This pattern, the humble lifted up, the proud brought low. We see it again and again. It feels like a signature move, you could say.
So thinking about the listener now, how do we apply this? What does it mean for you today?
Well, first, I think it's a huge call to trust the timing. Like Mordecai, maybe you feel overlooked.
Yeah, maybe in your job or family or just personal goals, you're doing good stuff, being faithful, and crickets.
Right. This story says, hang in there, keep doing good. The recognition, the justice, the breakthrough, it might be delayed in your eyes, but it's not necessarily denied. Trust the process. Trust God's timing.
Let the divine author handle the timeline. Okay, what else?
Second, stay humble. Haman is like this giant warning sign about ego. When we think the world revolves around us, we get blinded. We miss reality. We set ourselves up. So it's about cultivating humility, recognizing we're part of something bigger.
Good reminder. And third.
Feared, don't underestimate small acts of integrity. Mordecai just did the right thing, reporting that plot. No fanfare.
And it ended up saving the king and eventually his whole people.
Exactly. Faithfulness in those quiet, unseen moments, it can have massive ripple effects you might never even know about. It's like that butterfly effect idea, but rooted in integrity.
That's encouraging. The little things matter.
They really do. And maybe finally, the biggest thing is this. God can turn the tables overnight. Literally, in this story.
Yeah, Haman starts the night on top. Mordecai's in mortal danger. By morning, completely flipped.
It's incredible. So for you listening, that means hold on to hope. Even when things look really, really grim.
Even when the gallows seem like they're being built for you, metaphorically speaking.
Right. And it also means you can let go of trying to force the ending yourself. Don't get consumed by payback or comparing yourself to others. Just stay faithful. Keep doing the right thing.
And trust that the story will unfold as it should.
Exactly. That kind of trust, that perspective, it really deepens your relationship with God, doesn't it? Recognizing he's always working, even when it's invisible to us. And that his justice, his timing, it's perfect.
So this deep dive into just one chapter, Esther 6, it really boils down to that unseen timing and that unexpected justice, doesn't it?
It really does. Mordecai didn't have to manipulate or fight for his own vindication.
God used a king's insomnia.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So if you're listening and you're in that waiting season, maybe feeling forgotten, wondering if your quiet faithfulness even registers, this story is such a powerful reminder.
Yeah.
God's still awake. He's still working. He's still faithful. Justice, honor, it comes in his perfect time.
That's a great summary. So as you listening reflect on this incredible story of reversal of divine timing, maybe the question to sit with is this. How will you apply this information in your life? Especially when you're navigating your own seasons of waiting or maybe dealing with uncertainty. How does this change how you trust?